Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John, chapter 21, and verse 15. John chapter 21 and verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And our subject this evening is the restoration of Simon Peter. The context of these verses are very well known to many of us. This exchange between the Lord Jesus Christ and Simon Peter occurs after the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a resurrection appearance. And of course, this is not the first time that the Lord Jesus Christ has showed himself to the disciples. We read in the narrative that this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. In verse 14, we read that. But this resurrection appearance, it is so glorious. We could, if we had time, consider the manner in which the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Simon Peter and the rest of the disciples. They are at the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee, and the Lord Jesus Christ appears to them much in the same way in which he first appeared to Simon Peter and the other disciples when they were fishing. And Simon Peter, you may recall, during the Lord's earthly ministry, he was amazed because his first encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ occurred in these same circumstances. They were fishing, they couldn't take any fish, but on the Lord's instruction, then they dragged their net in with a great multitude of fish. And so when these same events occur again, the disciples are left in no doubt. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what happened when he appeared to us the first time, and now he is appearing to us again. Even though it seems from the account that visually, there is some doubt amongst the disciples that perhaps this is the Lord physically speaking, but spiritually speaking, this is most certainly him. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. None of the disciples dared ask him, who is this? Because they knew it was the Lord. It's mysterious in so many ways, these resurrection appearances, but it is clearly the Lord who has come to meet with the disciples. And this resurrection appearance, it's going to, in most part, deal personally with Simon Peter. And this is not unusual in the resurrection appearances. We read elsewhere that in one of the resurrection appearances, the Lord Jesus Christ deals personally with Thomas, doubting Thomas, as he is commonly known. It seems that the Lord Jesus Christ appears amongst the disciples specifically to deal with Thomas personally. Thomas doubted that the Lord Jesus Christ had risen from the dead, and so the Lord appeared to him and said, Thomas, thrust your hand into my side. See, it is I. So he dealt personally with Thomas. And now in this resurrection appearance, he's going to deal personally with Simon Peter. And that's a glorious thought in and of itself. Even in the resurrection appearances, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not just appearing to the disciples as a whole, as a collective. He's even ministering to the disciples' own personal specific needs, even in the resurrection appearances. And this shows forth the glorious heart of our dear Saviour. And We must not waste too much time, but let's come in at verse 15. They had dined, and presumably the Lord Jesus Christ had eaten as well, to show that he was not simply a spirit, not a ghost, but he had a body that could eat and so on. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Well, this question is going to be asked of Simon Peter three times. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Do you love me? And well, what a question to be asked. A question that needs to be asked of all of us, just by way of introduction this evening. If you were in Simon Peter's position right now, and the Lord Jesus Christ asked you by name, do you love me? What would you be able to say? Would you be able to respond in a positive way, in the affirmative? Yes, and well, I say this so very often. Yes, so many of us are religious. So many of us come to church and sing the hymns. But why? Why do you come? Why are you religious? Is it because, that's all you've ever known? Your parents were religious and now you are religious? Is it because it's simply a cultural thing? Is it because, maybe you come to the church because it's a social thing? You love the fellowship. You love the people. But do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? If the Lord Jesus Christ specifically, personally asked you that question, lovest thou me? What would you be able to say? Do you love the Lord? Do you attend church because you love the Lord? You sing the hymns because you love the Lord? This is a great question to ask of every single one of us. The Lord knows those who love him and those who do not. And remember what he said of the Pharisees. These people, they do honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. It's very easy to be religious, outwardly religious. But does your heart love the Lord? And so we have to examine ourselves and ask ourselves this same question. Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Do we love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we truly love him? Lovest thou me more than these? Well, now, as we go into this account, these verses, well, they're designed, if I can use that word, by the Lord Jesus Christ, or they're put across by the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that will remind Simon Peter of his sin. The Lord Jesus Christ asks him these words, this question, lovest thou me, three times. Why three times? Well, because of Simon Peter's sin. Remember Simon Peter? He denied the Lord how many times? Three times. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, in this interrogation, as it were, is almost mirroring the sin of Simon Peter. He's reminding Simon Peter of his fall, of his denial. He denied the Lord three times, so now three times the Lord Jesus Christ is going to ask him, lovest thou me? And well, this of course is a question that would not have been asked if Simon had not fallen into sin. It is Simon's sin that has led to this difficult interrogation for Simon Peter. And this really is the effect of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's asking him, lovest thou me? He's interrogating Simon Peter. And the reason he's doing this, or part of the reason, is because he's saying to Simon, this is what your sin causes. This is what sin causes for all of us. When we sin, it puts a great question mark over our faith. It puts a great question mark. When we fall into sin, well, does this person really love me? When we sin, if we fall into great sin and it can happen to any of us, well, don't we start to question ourselves? We fall into great sin, we dishonor the Lord, then the questions start to rise up. How could I have done this? How could I have been so disobedient to the Lord? Do I really know him? Do I really love him? That's what sin does. It causes questions to arise. Lovest thou me? This is what your sin has led to, Simon Peter, this uncomfortable interrogation. You've fallen into sin. It has put a great question mark upon your faith. That's what it does. It takes away our peace. It disturbs our consciences. When we fall into sin, then a great question mark is placed over us. And not only in us, but other people who observe us, they're caused to question us. If others see us and, they know that we profess faith and yet they see us fall into sin, well, they're bound to ask, does this person really love God? Does this person really love Christ? It prompts the question, you see. Lovest thou me? This person has a profession of faith, and yet I see him do this and do that. And he's so worldly, and he sins so easily. Does this person really love the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what sin does. It begs this question, lovest thou me? And so, Simon Peter, it's a difficult and uncomfortable interrogation, but it's because of his sin. This has prompted this question, and particularly this first instance here in verse 15, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these other disciples? Do you love me more than these other disciples? That's what the Lord is saying. Why is he asking Simon Peter that? Well, remember Simon Peter's boast. On the eve of the crucifixion, Simon Peter boasted that even if all the other disciples were to abandon the Lord Jesus Christ, I will be right there. I will stay with you, Lord. I love you more than these. That was his boast. And what happened? Well, of course, he forsook the Lord. He denied the Lord. And so the Lord Jesus Christ asks him, lovest thou me more than these? What have you learnt from your fall, Simon Peter? How are you going to respond this time, Simon Peter? And well, Simon Peter says unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Well, Simon Peter says yes, but look how he says yes. Thou knowest that I love thee. He's giving the Lord the right to judge. Now, before it was not the case. Before Simon Peter boasted, oh yes, I love thee with a strong love that will never forsake you. It was his boast. But now he's humbled. No, Lord, you know how much I love you. I'm not going to make the boast. I'm not going to say I love you so much, only to fall at the wayside. You know how much I love you. Well, isn't that the case with each and every one of us? So often, we think we love the Lord so much. We think we are such godly people. But you know, it's only the Lord who knows how much we really love him. And we commit that to the Lord. And every day in prayer, we search our hearts. We know that our hearts can deceive us. But Lord, thou knowest how much I love thee. I will not be presumptuous. I will not make out that I'm more spiritual than I actually am. Thou knowest, Lord. Teach me, show me my true state. So Peter is not boasting here, like he did before. Oh, I love you with a great love. He's now handing it over to the Lord. Thou knowest. There's humility here. He's yielding to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou knowest that I love thee. And again, well, it is repeated in verse 16. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? But this is so important because, of course, through his sin, Simon Peter had acted as though he did not love the Lord. And while this exchange by the Lord Jesus Christ reminding Simon Peter of sin, some people think, well, isn't this quite an unkind thing to do for the Lord Jesus Christ to remind him of his sin? The Lord Jesus could just say that you are forgiven, Simon Peter, and not have to remind him about his thrice denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a principle here that is being taught to us, and it's a principle that perhaps we don't exercise as much as we do, or perhaps we're hesitant to do so. But you know, the remembrance of our sins is a healthy exercise at times. The remembrance of our sins. What good could possibly come from taking time to remember our sins? Well, it reminds us of how much we owe. How much we owe to the Lord. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of what he's done for us. Well, of course, he's paid our sin debt on Calvary's cross. All the things that we have done in our past lives, all the rebellion, all the wicked things, Christ died on the cross, took upon himself an eternity of pain and suffering. And well, when we think of these things, we think to ourselves, and how have I repaid him? How have I repaid him in my life? We think of our sins. We think of how offensive that has been to the Lord who has bought us. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered for my sin. And what have I done? I've sinned even more. And well, when we think of those things, it ought to stir us. I must do more for the Lord. I must rededicate my life. I must make better vows to the Lord. He has done so much for us. And yet I think upon my sin, how greatly I've let him down. And that ought to stir us up to greater desire to prove him, to make amends. We think of all the times that we have sinned against God. And God has been so kind to us. God has not dealt with us according to our sins. We have sinned, and yet God has dealt with us with such mercy and kindness and picked us up and blessed us, just as he's doing with Simon Peter. You think to yourself, I have been so bad to the Lord, and the Lord has been so kind to me. So the reminding ourselves of our sins, well, it causes us to be moved to greater desire to serve him and to make amends. It reminds us of how much we owe, and it spurs us on even to greater service. And in these verses, well, Simon Peter is being restored to service. Feed my lambs, we read in these verses. Verse 15, if we go back to that again. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. You have sinned greatly against me, Simon Peter. You owe very much. Prove your love by service. Prove your love. Feed my lambs. And in verse 16, feed my sheep. And again in verse 17, feed my sheep. Well, are there any differences between these terms? Well, many of the commentators say yes. Feed my lambs. Lambs, of course, are the young sheep. And perhaps the teaching or the instruction to Simon Peter is feed my lambs, watch over those young believers, those new converts, those who are young in the faith, those who are weak. Don't be proud, Simon Peter. Humble yourself. Don't be afraid to condescend to those who are struggling. Feed my lambs, Simon Peter. Then verse 16, feed my sheep. Well, that word feed in verse 16 is a different word to verse 15. It has more of a sense of governing. And perhaps the instruction here to Simon Peter is to govern the church. Feed the lambs, yes, be tender, but also be authoritative. Govern the church. Rule over those who are my believers, those who believe in me. So be tender in verse 15, but also have that authority. Verse 16, govern the church. And then verse 17, at the end, feed my sheep. Well, this perhaps has more of a sense of sustenance. Whether the believers are young in the faith or whether they are more mature, feed them, sustain them, cause them to grow. Don't ever give them anything that cannot feed them. This is the great responsibility upon Simon Peter. And what a tremendous responsibility is being placed upon him. But these responsibilities, well, we note in these verses, lovest thou me? First of all, if you are to take on these roles, this office, the Lord Jesus Christ must be convinced that Simon Peter loves him. Love comes first. In order to carry out any service for the Lord, well, the first qualification is that you love him. If you serve in a church, you must love the Lord first of all. I fear that perhaps in the Christian church at the present time, well, there are many preachers who are good speakers and many pastors who are good organizers, but sadly they don't love the Lord. That's the great prerequisite. That is what is being shown here. Lovest thou me? Three times. That must be proved first. Then you can serve. Then you can feed the sheep. But you must love first, Simon Peter. Those who do not love the Lord must never be appointed as ministers or pastors or elders or deacons. The first thing that we must be sure of when we examine anyone for office, do they love the Lord? Even anyone for membership in a church, do they love the Lord? That has to be their testimony. That has to be their witness. And that must be our priority. We must always keep our love alive for the Lord. Preachers, ministers, Sunday school teachers. Do you have love for the Lord? If you don't have love for the Lord, you won't have love for the children. Those who truly draw near to the Lord in prayer, in devotion every day, reading the Word of God, exercising that love within their hearts for the Lord, then there will be greater love for his work, for the children. Then you won't just be a teacher who teaches them, you'll get alongside them. You'll have more of a desire. The Lord will give you more of that love. You must love to be an effective servant of the Lord. This is what is coming through here. Lovest thou me first, then you may serve me. And this is so important for every single one of us, any of us in an avenue of service. We must keep up our love for the Lord and our personal devotions, our personal relationship with the Lord. Otherwise, we are sorely disadvantaged. But these verses, well, we look at verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. The great application of these verses is that even despite Simon Peter's fall, he can be restored. He can be restored even despite all of his sin. Now, we have to be careful when we consider such applications, because we're not saying that sin doesn't matter. We're not saying that somebody who sins, well, it doesn't matter, you can just ignore it because Simon Peter sinned and was let off. That's not the way that we look at it at all. Somebody who sins, particularly somebody who's in an office, must be disciplined. Any member of a church who falls into great sin must be disciplined and must be brought to repentance. But you know, Simon Peter, he has been disciplined. He has been brought to repentance. We considered a couple of weeks ago, well, how Simon Peter wept. He wept when the Lord Jesus Christ looked upon him. And that look, well, we didn't speak about this in great length last time, but that look of the Lord Jesus Christ must have been such a convicting look, a chastising look, one that disciplined Simon Peter, because we read that exactly afterward he wept. He wept. And this was godly sorrow. Simon Peter, he was not put to a public shame, but he wept because he knew that he had offended his Lord, that he had disowned his Lord and denied him. This was godly sorrow. This was repentance. Simon Peter hasn't been let off. He has shed many tears. He has known much pain. He's now suffering this grievous interrogation of the Lord. He hasn't been let off. He's gone through repentance. He's known godly sorrow. And now he can be restored. It's the same for us. We don't take sin lightly. We don't let people off. There has to be a period of godly sorrow. There has to be a period of repentance. But then we can be restored. We must be restored. Service, well, it restores us in that sense. And this is the pattern that we follow. But Simon Peter, well, he was so grieved, wasn't he, when we look at these words? He said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Well, Simon Peter's repentance, Simon Peter's godly sorrow, that was the sign that Peter loved him. That was the sign that Peter loved him. Remember Judas Iscariot. He fell, he betrayed the Lord, but there was no godly sorrow in him. He never returned to the Lord. He never went back. He didn't love the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas Iscariot, he betrayed the Lord. He went and hanged himself. He didn't go back to the Lord. He never loved him. Simon Peter did. Even despite his sin and his betrayal, he loved the Lord. He couldn't live without him. He couldn't go back to what he was. He couldn't go back to the world. He couldn't go back to his old life. He had to go back to the Lord. This was the sign that he loved him. And you know, this is encouraging for all of us, because we know that we cannot love the Lord perfectly. We cannot live a perfectly righteous life, but that doesn't mean that we don't love him. If you desire to be better, to live a holier life, that means you love the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know that even despite all your failings and all your sins, you could never go back to that old life, that means that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. If you pray, even on your knees, praying to the Lord, Lord, change me. I know I'm a wicked person. Change me, even beyond recognition. That's a sign that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we read this account and these words of Simon Peter, these are signs that he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Loving the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't mean that we are perfect. It means that when we fall, we have sorrow over our sin, and we repent, and we turn back to him, and we allow the Lord to heal us. And Simon Peter will be healed. The Lord Jesus Christ, he knows that Simon Peter loves him. And in verse 18 and verse 19, well, the Lord says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Well, Simon Peter, he would have a death that would glorify God. And this was good news to Simon Peter, in a way. Simon Peter would not be cast off by the Lord. Simon Peter would be greatly used, and even in his death, he would glorify his Savior. This was joy for Simon Peter, because he knew that it meant that the Lord would not cast him off. Even to the very end of his days, he would be used of the Lord. He would follow him. He would die in the same way. And we believe that these words in verse 18, the stretching forth of the hands, speaks of how Simon Peter would be crucified. He would be girded to the cross. Often criminals would be bound to the cross by garments. They weren't always nailed in by the hand and the feet, but that they would be tied to the cross. And this is speaking of Simon Peter's crucifixion. But this was a sign that Simon Peter loved the Lord Jesus Christ and would be used of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is how it will be with us, even despite all our sins. But we must close. The great question that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to Simon Peter: Simon, lovest thou me? How are we going to live in the next week, in the next month, in the next 12 months? You know, each and every day, the Lord asks us this question. In a sense, when we get up, the Lord is placing upon us this obligation. Do you love me? Do you love me? Are you going to prove your love this day through what you do, through your actions, through the things that you say, through the things that you think? Do you love me? This is the question that is asked of each and every one of us every day. Are we going to live this week as though we love the Lord Jesus Christ? As though we love him with all our heart, not simply religious, not simply churchgoers, but we love the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our challenge. May the Lord bless us and help us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank thee that thou art our God. We thank thee for all that we learn in thy word. We thank thee for all the challenge of it. Lord, we ask for the forgiveness of all our sins. We ask that thou wouldest forgive us, for we know that there have been days and perhaps even longer times in our lives when we have not loved thee as we ought. Oh, dear Lord, forgive us afresh all our sin and help us to always strive to be better, to always strive to be holier, to always strive to deny ourselves with greater determination and purpose. O Lord, our love is so weak and so feeble, but Lord, thou knowest that we love thee. Lord, help us, we pray, in the days ahead to prove thee in all things. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.